Hey, good morning and welcome back. I'm Jenna Barr. You're listening to Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. It's time to welcome our next expert on the panel this morning. If you would like to text or call in with a question, 850-437-1620. Let's welcome Terry Gross. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. Glad to talk to you. And even though this is a legal program, since I am a personal injury lawyer for 43 years, I'm going to start out with what sounds like a foodie type question about food.
Okay.
But I'm going to make a legal point. Yeah. So why don't you tell us, you know, this is something very special. Your parents come into town and you want to take them to the best restaurants that you know of in Pensacola. What would be your top four restaurants, if you could say so? I don't know who advertises with your station or not, but hopefully I won't get you in trouble. But what four would you possibly think of for some really special occasion?
Okay, so first off the top of my head, because we're a family, we always take everybody out and Irish to McGuire's. That's something a little bit more like laid back and fun. Whenever we want to be near the water, we head on over to Fish House, our friends from Great Southern Restaurants. One of my all-time favorites, though, is downtown at Angelina's. But this isn't really, I wouldn't say a restaurant. A breakfasty type of place, though, are my friends out on the beach. We have Bear Fruit and Bowls. I was just talking about it a few minutes ago, actually, off air. And it's more of like a breakfast snacky type of place. But we love going and then taking it onto our beautiful beach and hanging out. So those would have to be my top four favorites. And I think that's some variety right there.
Well, I'll give you my top four, a little bit different. And I like all the ones you mentioned, by the way. I've been to Angelina's, and I'm a member of McGuire's, the Irish Politicians. But I'm a big fan of Global Grill. I'm a big fan of the Iron downtown. And Grand Marlin, we live in Gulf Breeze. We go there quite a bit.
Oh, yes.
And we like George's Bistro up
yes.
there on 9th Avenue. But
dang
there's
it.
So many. But there,
oh, we have so many, Terrence. Now I'm so hungry and I want to go to Palanza Bistro for lunch. You hit me with another one.
Well, so what if it was something really special so that your parents, I don't know how old your parents are, but say it's their 40th anniversary. So you say, Mom and Dad, you're here in Pensacola. I want to do something so different for you. I'm going to take you to my favorite restaurant. And they're so excited, and you go, McDonald's.
Oh.
And you can see the disappointment on their face. And then your parents start quitting McDonald's, and you start saying, well, McDonald's is bigger. They've served billions and billions of hamburgers. They know how to do it. It's always the same, and it's fast, and it's not expensive. And they're looking at you like you're from Mars. And the reason I've asked all these questions, because I'm back to my thing, is bigger, better. Because, and I'm going to the legal thing, because there is a law firm out there that is just, every time I come home every day, I'm tired of it. They get on the thing, bigger is better, bigger is better. We have offices here. And I'm thinking, really? So you're better than maybe someone like me? That just has four lawyers, me and my three sons. I've been a lawyer here for 43 years in the Pensacola area, my whole time, and so forth. So a lot of what we are getting, folks, is we're getting inundated with law firms that are not local law firms. You know, Mr. Billboard is out of Alabama. Doesn't have a license to practice in Florida. And Mr. Big is out of Orlando, I think, has a license, of course, but I don't think practices law anymore. At least not like car wreck law and the stuff that we all do. And yet these are people are signing up these firms, not knowing their lawyers and whatever. And then it becomes like a factory. And I had a really unique experience, Jenna, last year. We lost a paralegal. We rarely lose staff, but we lost one. And as you might guess, I wanted to interview as many people as I could for this one position to try to get the right fit. And invariably, of the people we interviewed, three were from the bigger or better law firm. And I start talking to these people, and I think I called one a paralegal. She says, well, I'm really not a paralegal. I'm a case manager. And I go, what's a case manager? Well, the people sign, you know, we sign them up, and then I open the file, and I write the doctors and this and that and the other. And if we can settle, then we settle. And if we can't, it goes to a lawyer. I'm thinking, huh? And it's just the opposite of what we do at our law firm. So if you were to want to engage us, you meet one of the lawyers face-to-face. We go over all the ins and outs of the case. If you sign us up, we're handling the case pre-suit and making decisions. And there's so many forks in the road. Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I sign this? Do I go to this doctor? And there's so many different things and decisions that have to be made. And I got to think someone like me, a lawyer's got to be in a much better position than a paralegal that's got a name of a case manager. And I was shocked to hear that. But again, you know, with the volume, and I will tell you the truth about me. 15 years ago, it was just me and Mr. Schuster. And at one time, I had 150 cases, which I thought was a lot. I mean, I was busier than a one-arm paper hanger. But I managed it, but I felt overwhelmed at times with 150. I've heard some of these big advertising firms, the lawyers are responsible for 350 per lawyer, which I can't even fathom. How do you keep track of who's who and what their names are? And so now that I'm certainly not retiring, but I'm certainly being really more picky about the cases I take, I'm down to 75 cases. I know not only my clients, I know their family, I know their hobbies, I know the people that used to play golf that can't play golf anymore. I know so many individual things, and when they come to meet with me, I'm not in a real rush to get them out the door. I got time to learn more about them. So when it comes time to settle, it's really personal. It's a real personal experience, one-on-one. And every month with 75 files, I go through every file every month. I take each file and just to see, make sure everything is kosher, that everything is going the way that I envision. Because sometimes the quiet files are the ones that kind of, you know, end up getting off the train track. But at the end of the day, just things that a small law firm could do. We do a lot of our own investigation. I'll give you a good example, Jenna. In December, a fellow came and interviewed with me in Milton, in my Milton office, about a motorcycle accident that happened in 90. And of course, being a local lawyer, not only did I know Highway 90, our office is on Highway 90. And as he talked, I learned that the accident was only a mile from the office. So when he finished, I said, and we heard that the lady at first admitted she was at fault, and then she was lying to the police officer by the time the officer got there. I said, let's go to the scene. He says, really, you're going to leave the office and go to the scene? I said, well, it's only a mile away. Sure, let's go there. So we go there, and the officer had actually made a circle. My guy was on a motorcycle, so he did an orange circle where the motorcycle had ended up. And I'm looking at this orange circle where the motorcycle ended up, and I look to my right, and there was this little business complex, like six businesses in one little building off to my right. I said, well, maybe one of these businesses has surveillance and maybe caught this thing so that we can impeach this lady. So I go in and knock on the business of number one, and I go in, there's a receptionist there, and all of a sudden she's looking at me smiling, and she goes, hey, Mr. Gross. And I'm looking at her kind of dumbfounded. I go, what? And she goes, oh, you represented me about 12 years ago. I guess you don't remember me, blah, blah, blah. And she gave me her name. And I said, well, do you have a surveillance camera here? She goes, no, we don't have that. If you're here for that motorcycle accident that just happened, one of my customers was an eyewitness. I said, do you know his name? She goes, yeah, so of course. I said, do you have a cell number? Yeah, it's right here. And she gave it to me. I ended up calling that guy, and he broke the case wide open. So I saw it. This lady did an illegal U-turn right in front of your motorcycle person. She was totally at fault, and there was a case that was questionable as liability that we broke wide open by being Johnny in the spot locally. And then I went to one other business. None of them had surveillance, but the other person, lady says, well, I didn't really see it, but I heard it, and I came running out, And I heard the lady right after the accident say, "Oh, I didn't see you. It's my fault." But again, by the time the officer got there, we know that she changed her testimony to protect herself. So we took a case that could have been years of litigation and a hard-fought liability case to now a slam dunk because of just being local. So this is what gets me. So again, I know a lot of people must be going to these firms because they got the billboards up. Somebody's got to pay for those billboards. And the TV ad after TV ad, it's almost kind of desperate to me. So I'm just using this show as my Billy pulpit to just, you know, vent. And I appreciate you letting me do that, Jenna. But I thought the food analogy was pretty apropos because nothing against McDonald's. I mean, you know, if you got a bunch of little kids in your car and they're screaming for food and you don't want to spend money, and McDonald's is fantastic. It serves right. that purpose, but it's not where you go to spend your 30th anniversary or your 40th or Valentine's Day or whatever. And you've named some restaurants. I've named some restaurants that you can have a special, you know, individual meal. And I like Angelina's that you mentioned. Cindy and I love eating at bars. So we like to go to the circular bar at Angelina's.
Yeah.
You get the bartender, you get your drinks, and they serve you, and you get great service. And we do that at Iron. We try to get in early with no reservations at Iron, do the same thing at their bar, and all that.
Do you like Iron and their truffle fries? That's for sure.
Oh, I try to stay away from the truffle fries. Those don't look good on my waistline, but they do have... They do have a great menu and they, you know, really fantastic food. And we do that at Grand Marlin. So we live in Gulf Breeze, so we go to Grand Marlin. That's our default place. But we usually try to sneak in even when it's busy, no reservations. And two of us could usually find some bar stools and pony up to the bar and get a good libation and a meal of our choice. So that's the way we like to dine, really. But anyway, but the whole point being is those are individual experiences where your food is cooked individually for you, not a mass production, you know, whatever. And so our law firm is anything but mass production. So I'm really proud to have my boys in with me, and it's a family experience. So the way we treat our employees, the way we treat our clients, a lot of one-on-one. We do have five offices, but I'm in my Navarre office right now. I'll be in my Milton office later this afternoon. But so we can meet people face-to-face and engage them. But invariably, by the redundancy, we know the roads up in Northwest Florida. We know the doctors and so forth. And every now and then, I'll even get lawyers. I'll have a case that happens here, and they retain a Jacksonville lawyer. And you start talking about Highway 98, and he'll start asking deposition, well, is that a two-lane road or is that a four-lane road? He's got no clue about Highway 98. You go, two-lane road? Excuse me? You know, but they just don't know. And I think it's a tremendous advantage to use a local lawyer, one that knows the turf, knows the intersections, and so forth. I think I've got time for another story, so I'll tell you another by showing the local things. So one of my son-in-law actually had a case, and it happened on a busy intersection. I think it was Berry Hill in Milton. And he knew by pulling up Google Maps that there was a big gas station, one of those big gas station food store type things on the corner, and a lot of them have surveillance. And he knew it was going to be contested liability, so he got on in his car, drove over there, and goes up to the counter, and he's talking to the clerk, and says, well, you know, we'd like to see your surveillance, because what happens with surveillance is it's taped over about every 2 weeks, about every 14 days. It's just one continuous tape. They don't change the tape, so if you don't get there soon enough, it'll just be taped over and gone forever. So he's there. And the clerk's looking a little sheepish, and he goes, what? He goes, truthfully, sir, our surveillance cameras haven't worked in years. They're still there like a deterrent, so people think they're being watched, so maybe they'll behave and not rob anybody because we have the cameras up, but they don't operate. And my son-in-law is pretty disappointed with that. And the clerk says, "But I think I know an eyewitness." He goes, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, we have a frequent customer. He was outside, I think, smoking a cigarette. And he came in right after the accident and said he saw everything." He says, "Do you know his name?" He says, "Well, I don't really know his name. I know what he's called." And I said, "What do they call him?" And he goes, "Hollywood." And as soon as he said Hollywood, a voice from the back of the store spoke up, said, "Who wants me?" And it was Hollywood. He was in the store in the back trying to buy something. And the store clerk didn't know he was there. And so my son-in-law got to meet him, and he broke the case wide open. I mean, he was an eyewitness, saw everything, and saw that our client did nothing wrong. And it was really lucky, but it was part of being a local lawyer, Johnny on the spot, in the store. He doesn't go there. You never find a Hollywood. Hollywood wasn't on an accident report, and there's no way you'd ever know about Hollywood unless you were lucky enough to be in the store at that time. So these are just some examples.
That is too cute, though. I think that's hysterical. Popping up like a little gopher. Hey, I'm here.
Well, and I'll tell you an old story. Me, so I had another case where a lady went in. It was like a Stein Mart or something like that. So it wasn't, because you see a lot of slip falls in grocery stores because of the refrigeration. You go to the vegetable thing, and maybe the thing leaks or whatever. But in a Stein Mart, she said she was walking down an aisle in the middle of a Stein Mart, and she slipped in a puddle of water, and she screwed her knee up and had knee surgery. So I said, "Let's go in there and investigate this together." So this was pre-cell phone. This is how old this case was. And I have my little Instamatic camera. I don't know. Do you remember what an Instamatic camera is, Jenna?
Oh, yeah.
Are you old enough to know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Yes, yes.
And we'd send it off to the drugstore to get developed.
Yes, you yes.
Know, this is back in the dark ages. Yeah, so.
I remember.
Anyway, so I'm in the store. So I'm in the store with her, and she goes down this aisle, and she goes, "It was about right here." And as soon as we got to where she was pointing, there was a puddle of water.
Oh.
And we're both aghast. We're looking at this puddle of water in the middle of a retail store. And just as we're looking at it, there was a bing, and a drop of water hit it, and you have little spirals. And then we look up, and there was one of those old-timey air conditioning vents, one used to have with all the circles, like you have a big circle, then a smaller circle, and it had all this condensation on it, and it was rusted all throughout, showing that it had been there a long time. So I start taking all these pictures of the puddle and all that, and just when I took my last picture, somebody puts their hand on my shoulder. It's a store manager. "What are you doing here?" I said, "We're just starting looking around." He says, "Well, you need to get out of here. You're not shopping. Get out of here." So we got out, but I had what I had. And we ended up winning that case because we were able to show that it wasn't just a mere accident, that they knew or should have known of a dangerous condition because, you know, they're on notice. Now, obviously, this has been going on for quite some time with, you know, all the rust and condensation. And the puddle being there, you know, a week later, same puddle's there. And we took a case that they could have, you know, maybe won in court to make it pretty much a slam dunk for us.
That's awesome.
So, just another example. Yeah, just being a local lawyer and having the time to do that, to take the time of your day and do these things. And we do it all the time. So, you know, I think, Some law firms, maybe they have investigators. We like to use our own eyes and usually if you came in and you're starting to describe an intersection to me, I've been doing this for 43 years. There's a good chance I've already litigated that intersection. I mean, there's just very few intersections. There seems to have a lot of wrecks and I can think, gosh, dang, I've had three or four wrecks at that intersection and so forth. And there's just some intersections where it's more common than others. But anyway, just being familiar with the lay of the land, I like to go and look. And sometimes, you know, it could be what was there a hill? Did a truck come over a hill and did see something? And I like to just know what the lay of the land is. I just settled a wrongful death case, and the truck driver says, "Oh, I couldn't avoid the accident because of all the trees in the median." I'm thinking, there's no trees in the median there. So I went back and forth because it's in between my Milton and Crestview offices. It's nothing but just green area. There's no trees there. And we took pictures of it. So when I went to take his deposition and he talked about the trees, I showed him that area and his mouth dropped open because there were no trees. So that whole excuse that he couldn't veer around my client's vehicle was just BS. I just made it up, you know, and then I got the trooper to admit that too, because the trooper was very familiar with the area and also verified that there were no trees.
Wow.
So I see that we're always running out of time. As soon as I get going, I keep on looking at my clock and boom. But this has been Terrence Gross. We, again, have five offices, Pensacola, Milton, Crestview, Fort Walton, Navarre. We love meeting people face-to-face. We love talking to our clients. We email, we text, we do any way you want to communicate, we do that. If you wish to call us in Pensacola, it's 850-434-3333. But the best way to find us is at our website, grossandschuster.com, and you'll find pages on many of the topics we talked about car accidents and slip falls and maritime and dog bites, whatever it may be. We have a page on our website. We like to inform the public. If you go to our website, you're not going to see million-dollar verdicts and million-dollar settlements. We have them. We just don't brag about them. You know, so we'd rather give you information like we do in these shows, and it just helps you if you need a lawyer, an experienced lawyer, then we're there to help you. And I really appreciate the opportunity to vent today and to make my point. And now I know what your favorite restaurants are, too.
And I think it's the way I would sum it up is bigger isn't always better, and local means local. And just in that comment, in when you said somebody was asking, is that a 4-lane road or a 2-lane road? It's automatically here locally, although we are a big county or 2-county area, we are also just hyper local in a small way. We have a sense of all these different roads. And so just knowing that in general, and knowing, oh, yeah, that area. I had a friend who was visiting and got T-boned from somebody running a stop sign in an area where we all know people run that stop sign. They just text and drive or whatever. Locals know that. Somebody who's not from here will not know that. So, Terrence, great topic. I also forgot I do love iron and George's. So now that I'm hungry and ready to go eat, we'll wrap things up here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. So thanks again for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 here on News Radio 92.3 on Pep Talk.